weeks ago, I asked Bud just for his reaction, and he looked at me and said, none. And that was the end of the question and the end of the... I wonder if that's...
Where do you get that kind of...
Well, I'm asking that now. I mean, is that him as much as, or just your playoffs, you know, what matters not getting there?
Yeah, you know, he's... I don't know what to tell you. You know, he's Bud. And, he's got to speak for himself.
Do you derive any pleasure from seeing guys who grew up under you as coaches flourishing around the league?
Sure I do. Yeah. I enjoy seeing them, talking to them, you know, watching their progress, enjoying their success. Yeah, it's great fun. It's just like a big family. I enjoy the hell out of it.
One player that might not necessarily get a lot of attention is Aaron Baines. Can you talk about his progress from maybe the bruiser that he was to a slightly more nuanced player?
Well, you know, when you look at him, you think he should be playing rugby. He doesn't look like a basketball player, and everything he does is relatively mechanical. But on closer inspection, he makes short-range jumpers. He's got a nice jump hook with both hands. He's got really good feet for a big guy. And he's learning how to play the game, and he's getting more and more confident with minutes.
Nash retired yesterday, and he was a player, and from a system you've been pretty frank about borrowing ideas and concepts. And what kind of impact do you think Steve leaves in terms of how he's kind of changed the game that we see today?
Well, I just when I think of Steve, it's just, you know, somebody you always had to prepare for, somebody always scared you. He changed your whole game plan whenever you got on the court. And he was a heck of a competitor. You know, he had a real drive. He played with class, a really intelligent player. And so, you know, all those qualities made him somebody special.
As a guy, he seemed like, more than most players, expansive interest, a life outside of basketball, work-life balance. I mean, that's something you've spoken about in the past. Guy, citizen of the world, yeah. Versus just a ball player.
Yeah, he really was. He had the big picture, you know. He was a basketball player, that's how he earned his money, but his life was much larger and more interesting than basketball. It still is, like he's with us still.
It's not a eulogy, right?
He still is.
I don't know if buy-in has become sort of an overused too little word phrase, but the concept isn't. What they've done here, what you guys have done for years, the coaches, are you aware of what the makeup of the team has to be to understand that guys are not only going to get what you say, but then go out and do it over the course of 82 games?
Well, you talk about buy-in. I think the degree to which a team does buy-in is directly proportional to the character of the players involved. Now, if you have, you know, one or two or three recalcitrants who want to do it their way or think they know better or have egos that can't be handled, there's no buy-in. So it's always been of paramount importance for us to bring in people who we thought could enjoy a teammate's success, understood the whole rather than the part, understood that it had to get done by the group and not by individuals. And if you can do that work ahead of time and be fortunate enough to be right in your selection of players, your job to get the buy-in is much easier.
Does it sometimes?
I thought that was a pretty good answer.
Yeah, don't worry. two words I didn't understand. Two words I got to look up. I'll be really honest with that. But I think I'll be able to get it. But does it also mean that whatever maybe sort of want to attach what a ceiling on a young player is, which is kind of at times ridiculous, is that watching guys who've been in the league do it the right way? Doesn't that automatically, if guys are smart, raise their individual ceiling? Like, don't we sometimes want to label guys as to what they're going to be a little bit too soon?
Yes, that can definitely happen. But it goes both ways. Sometimes a team will draft a player and you keep hoping, you keep playing a player, or you keep waiting for a player because you think a player has potential and just never seems to come, and you forego other things, maybe a different signing or some other draft pick or a trade because you're waiting and it doesn't work out for you. So that can go both ways.
Coach, when you watch film of the Hawks, do you see some interesting...
I need to watch film of the Hawks.
You don't think there's interesting new twists that Bud is putting into stuff that you taught him?
I mean, I'm lying. You know, I said it before, it's film is overrated. You know, it's basketball. It's not like anybody's running an offense that nobody's seen before, or a new zone, or a man-to-man pick and roll defense that we haven't seen before. Everybody knows it's all about execution. It's all about me turning it over less than you. Nobody can control shots, I mean, except for good shots. You know, you can argue about good, bad, great, all that kind of thing. But like today, you know, who's going to turn it over more? Who's going to make good cuts? Who's going to get back in transition D? It's always funny that scouts or coaches will come and they'll say, we really got to get back in on defense tonight. So on Tuesday against Dallas, we don't have to do that? We don't have to get back on defense just today? You know, that kind of thing. It's every game. It's the same stuff. You don't want to turn it over the next game either. And so it's a pretty simple thing. And it's about who, assuming both teams compete their ass off, it's about who executes more of the 48 minutes well than the other team. That's what it's all about.
So do you have a sense of why the Hawks are executing so well over 69 games this season?
Sure. They've got five guys at a time almost all the time on the court that can score and have to be handled. It can't be left alone. So you can't you know, come off of one guy and, you know, go help just any way you want. So they've got threats on the floor everywhere. And I think they execute first at the defensive end, you know, really well in the sense that they know what the game plan is. They give up a lot of threes, but it's hard to get into the paint. And the more you get in the paint, the more you turn it over. And that fuels their offense. And they all believe in it, and they all do it. So they execute as a group and trust each other defensively really, really well. And they feel responsible to each other. Most teams, you'll have one guy that doesn't go get weak side help, or he never blocks out, and he's always got an excuse. They always have five guys on the court that really take pride in doing their jobs defensively. At the offensive end, they're unselfish, and they understand that the ball has to change sides, and the ball has to be moved, and ball stoppers are not welcome. So when you have a team that believes in that and tries to do it night after night, minute after minute, they're going to be very successful, and that's what Bud's instilled.
He'll tell you.
You guys have probably heard that story.
Yes.
Right? So,
there are so many stats and numbers. Is there anything at the end of a game that when you get a, and I don't even know if you look at a sheet, but is there anything that you first go to, or do you pretty much know walking in at the end of a game what it's going to say?
I mean, intuitively you sort of know what went on in the game. I'm always surprised when you do go watch film, things are a little bit different than you thought in certain situations, but I go look at the assists after every game. I just go see what the assists are. I have to know what we do. Like when we lost to New York the other night, we had 17 assists. And, you know, that's pretty low for us, pretty low for Bud. You know, teams that want to be good teams, you don't play with 17 assists. Unless, you know, Larry Bird and Michael and, you know, Kevin Durant are all on the same team and you just take turns and give the ball and say, go score, you know, something like that. That's about